Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome home. I am so excited that you joined me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad therein. The scripture said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, let us, you, and you, let us exalt the name of the Lord together. Truly, God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. And I am so excited on today about what God is getting ready to do in and through the lives of his people. Yes, in your life, and even your life, God is going to do some profound things in your life. Don't you dare give up. Don't you allow despair or discouragement to set in your heart and your mind. Look, lift your eyes to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, and he will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel will not sleep, nor will he slumber. So I want you to be encouraged on today and grab a hold of courage and be in it. So get encouraged. Amen. And God will tremendously bless you. On today, we are going to be dealing with another one of our Christian principles that we've been teaching on for the last couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about the duty of diligence. And the importance and the relevancy of us as being diligent as children of God. And we're going to gain a greater understanding when we're looking at the word diligent and what God is speaking to the hearts of his people and his desire for us. Now, I want you to grab your Bible because we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verses 1 through 12. And then also we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 10. So these will be our scripture reference for today when we talk about the duty of diligence. Now, let us look at that scripture again. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verses number 1 to verse number 12. And let's read it together. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounding unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, and that upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandments, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through him were rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I gave my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a will in mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, let's look over as we turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 10. And it reads on this line, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fail." Now, the thought diligent is necessary for the child of God to maintain a spiritual life. Negligence of duty will cripple spiritual strength, resilience, producing discouragement and decay. Now, so here, we're going to look at the word diligent. But I want us to bear in mind as we study in this particular lesson that diligence is so necessary for the child of God. It's going to maintain our spiritual life, as well as the neglect of it, of this particular duty. On the opposite hand, if you don't be diligent, it will cripple. It will cripple our strength, spiritual strength, and our resilience, and start producing discouragement and decay. So we must be diligent children of God in everything that we do for God and the things of God. Now let's take a look here. Now, the word diligent means to work hard and industrious. A person diligent not only will affect their everyday working life, but also can positively impact their spiritual life and their individual relationship with the Lord. Due diligence in the workplace is essential. However, this quality also is vital in one's spiritual life. Peter pointed out the vital nature of diligence in one's spiritual life in 2 Peter 1 and 10. And I'll read that again in your hearing. "Wherefore the brethren, brother, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail or never fall." A believer should work diligent to develop their ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone observed that diligence is spended in living for God will make one's spiritual life easier to live and maintain. On the other hand, living for God half-heartedly makes one's spiritual life hard to maintain. Diligence makes all the difference. And so it is that we must be diligent in the things of God. Now let's look diligent in salvation, surrendering the heart. Saul of Tarsus was focused on destroying the followers of Jesus Christ. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter, Acts 9 and 1. He had obtained authority from the religious leader to take a decisive action against the believers. If he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem, Acts 9 and 2. Saul was diligent in his desire to stop the growth of this new group, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though Saul was diligent and sincere in his heart, he was sincerely wrong. Like all prospective believers, Saul's diligence was insufficient for salvation. To be saved, he must have to respond to the gospel call of Christ with faith and surrender his heart to the Lord. Now, let's take a look here. The response to the gospel, the first requirement of faith. The Lord desired for individuals to give him their heart. Jesus preached, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel," Mark 1 and 15. The Lord will go to great measure to get our attention, but then the choice to believe or reject is ours. The Lord stopped Saul on the Damascus road with a bright light and spoke directly to him in an audible voice. And we'll find that over in Acts chapter number 9, verses 4 through 5. "And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." It took an act of faith for Saul to believe the voice he heard was the voice of Jesus, the very ones whose influence was attempting to destroy. It always takes the drawing of the Spirit of the Lord to melt a hardened heart and bring a person into relationship with God. See John 6:44. Now, surrendering the heart, the first step of faith. When individuals experience the tugging of the Spirit of God on their heart, they have to choose how they will respond to God, whether or not they will draw near to Him. If we draw near to God, He will draw near to us, James 4:8. Faith comes by hearing the word of God preached, Romans 10:17. But faith demands an active response demonstrated through either acceptance or rejection. For example, upon hearing Saul's testimony, Felix trembled with conviction. However, Felix chose to discard the wooing of the Spirit, and he openly declared that he was almost persuaded to be a Christian. Now, the first step of faith is for an individual to yield their hearts to the Lord. Peter declared, "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe," Acts 15:7. Believing will open the heart of an individual to receive the word of the Lord. This process was evident in God's call to Saul on the domestic road. A persecutor of the gospel heard a voice from heaven, and the experience opened his heart. He faced a vital choice, and in response, he took a step of faith and obeyed the instruction he received from the Lord. Now, number three, diligence of conversion, total commitment and surrender. Often, if a person has served the world and sinned passionately, when the person yields their life to the Lord, they serve God with the same intensity. Should an individual become totally committed to the cause of the gospel and willingly to surrender or suffer if necessary for the privilege of sharing the glorious message of redemption? The bright light from heaven, it blinded Saul. In this encounter with the Lord, the voice that accompanied the blinding light instructed him to go into the city where he would meet a man who would explain what he needed to do. The men who were traveling with Saul took him by the hand and led him into the city where Saul met Ananias. Now, when Ananias prayed for Saul, he received his sight and was baptized. Saul totally surrendered his heart and his life to the Lord. By faith, he accepted and obeyed the voice of Jesus Christ and followed the instruction of man whom God sent to him, Ananias. What a change that took place in the life of Saul. The scripture describes and declares a straight way he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him was amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name, this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?" Acts 9:20-21. With the same diligence that he served the religious Sanhedrin in an attempt to stop the follower of Jesus, Saul, who was also called Paul in Acts 13:9, became a strong proponent of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When conversion occurred in his life, he became totally committed. Now, let's look a little further here. In keeping the heart, again, we're talking about the heart. Now, keeping the heart, the issues of life, Solomon declared, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life," Proverbs 4:23. Adam Clark explained, "Above all, keeping, guard your heart. He who knows anything of himself know how to adapt his affection or to go astray. For out of it are the issues of life," the going out of life. How necessary it is to keep our heart pure and sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible declares the heart is desperately deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. if we are not careful, many evil and wicked influences in this world will deceive our hearts. How important it is to keep our heart free from issues that distract and hinder our diligence in serving the Lord. Let's look at another point. Number two, diligence preserves the calling and makes the election sure to guard against failure. It is important to keep our hearts clear from any obstacles that would hinder us from full surrender in our service to the Lord. Diligence is the key to preserving the calling of our God in our lives and ensuring that we are in right relationship with Him. When we make up our minds to do the will and to the work of the Lord, it is amazing what we can accomplish. We can live a life that is over and above the reproach of sin. Even as we face the storms of life, we can live in victory, knowing that the Lord is with us. We can live victoriously in a sin-cursed world. We can live in such a close relationship with the Lord that He will keep us from failing. Jude 24 declares, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Further, the third point is diligence is the bridge between the cause, the promise, and the benefit, the blessing. 2 Peter 1, 4 through 8 gives us words of hope and instruction, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 4 through 8. Now, Peter went on to declare that the promises of God was exceeding great and precious. He also declared that there pertained unto life and godliness. What great hope awaits the believer who is diligent in their relationship with the Lord? Now, let us look further and deeper into diligence. Diligence in our spiritual growth. Commanded to give all diligence to spiritual development. So we are the ones that are responsible for our own spiritual development and our growth. Just as an athlete must give diligence to training and development of physical strength, the child of God must train and develop an area of spiritual understanding to attain spiritual strength. Now, let's look at character. Now, and character is key because this is one of the things that I shared with the minister. We all know the word. Many of believers know the word, but we must begin to work diligently on developing and nurturing and cultivating our character, because character is very vital and very key in the life of individuals. And God is wanting us, as never before, is to go to that next level, even in our character. Now let's look further. The life of a believer is like a city set on a hill. The scripture reveals that we are shining lights in this world and we cannot hide. Paul wrote, "You are our epistle, written in our heart, known and read of all men," 2 Corinthians 3 and 2. Our diligence or lack of diligence is evidence to others, readily visible to the world in which we live. Let us be strong in the Lord and diligent about our character as well as our commitment. Now, this is the second point. What leads us into our second point is the commitment. It is vital. It is key, child of God, for our commitment It is to be committed unto God and to the things of God. It said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Peter declared that we must be diligent to add spiritual virtues to our lives as believers. Otherwise, we will be spiritually blind and forgetful of our former sinful state. By diligently adding faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity of our lives to our lives, we grow spiritually stronger and develop our relationship with the Lord and stabilize our calling and election in Jesus Christ. Peter revealed that we must do more than only hear the word of God. We must diligently obey it. He wrote, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. 2 Peter 1 and 10, for our hearts must come a strong, unshakable commitment. So out of our hearts must come an unshakable commitment. Now, let us look further in. Diligence required and is required even in the time of trouble. And this is the area sometimes that the adversary fights the children of God, is that even in the time of our trouble, we must be diligent in the things in which we are going through and the tests and trials which we are facing. We must be diligent in those things. Now, let's look further. Trouble and difficulties of life will come to every person. It would be wonderful if we would always live at the church, fellowshipping with fellow believers and enjoying the constant presence and joy of the Holy Spirit. However, we live in a real world where we are faced with real trouble, as well as a real adversary, the devil. It is important to understand that trouble arising in a person's life is not the indication that a person's spirituality or a signal to whether or not they are living according to the will of God. Paul was very much in the will of God, and yet he suffered many things in life. Paul wrote, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Twice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three was I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journey often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils in the false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold, in nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 28. Now here Paul began to talk about all of the things that he had gone through. Now this man had gone through some things. Now, as we look at it, you know, he was cold, he was naked, he was often fasting, he was hungry, he was thirsty, his own countrymen was coming up against him, and the cities was coming up against him. The heathens were fighting against him. He was in the wilderness and faced some perils in the sea and among false brethren and perils of robbers and of the water. So Paul was going through some stuff. But in all of that, he remained diligent. And he remained to the task in which God has given unto him. And such as it is for us children of God, we must remain diligent. And yes, we're going to face our real adversary, and we will face trouble, and difficulties will come, and We have to deal with things that are going on even in and through our lives, but we must remain diligent. It is vital that a believer maintain their relationship with Jesus Christ daily. No one knows when we will experience the troubles of life, when that happens, and it will happen too, for sure. That person spiritually diligent will pay great dividends. And that means that it will sustain you and keep you during the time of trouble and during the time of great diligence, because you are maintaining and staying faithful and steadfast and unmovable and abounding in the work and the things of the Lord our God. Now, let's look. We must be diligent in duty to God. Every believer has a duty to serve the Lord. For example, Paul declared that he had a duty to preach the gospel. He said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." 2 Corinthians 9:16. A person's duty may be teaching a Sunday school class or helping in the bus ministry. It may involve music ministry, teaching home Bible study, or ministry to the seniors. Whatever one particular calling of Christian service may be, it is their responsibility to exercise their duty of ministry with diligence. The believers also have a responsibility to be diligent in their financial support of the work of the Lord. They have the duty to give liberally from a heart of gladness, for God loves a cheerful giver. Money is essential for the operation of the early church, and finances still are necessary in the 21st century for preaching the gospel and reaching the world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." No work in the kingdom of God goes unnoticed. From janitorial work to teaching Sunday school to being faithful in prayer, the Lord will reward a perfect person's labor of love. And so take heart, child of God, because God will reward you in your faithfulness unto him. He will reward you. So don't get discouraged in your faithfulness and diligence, because God himself is going to reward you. And I want you to hold fast to that. Now, let's look at diligent again a little further. Diligent is a way of all life. Serving the Lord with diligence ought to be a way of a life of every child of God. It is a lifestyle that develops, not just a momentary incident. The scripture declares that we are to abound in faith, utterance, knowledge, and even diligence, 2 Corinthians 8:7. It should be our lifestyle. The Lord expects his people to be diligent in maintaining all their responsibilities, and he will reward those who are faithful. In the parable of the talents, the master declared to the man who was faithful in the talents allotted to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant," Matthew 25:23. The Lord both requires and rewards diligence. So here, God, he requires us to be diligent, as well as after being diligent, God himself is going to reward us for being diligent. Now, let us look further. Diligence required in our service. Now, preaching the gospel. They were commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. True believers understand the necessity of the gospel for a person's salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Since the gospel is essential for redemption, believers desire to share the gospel with people everywhere. Every person needs to be saved and lifted out of the pit of sin. Jesus invested his life in 12 men who will preach the gospel and establish his church after his ascension. The gospel, the disciples, followers of Jesus were greatly impacted by being eyewitnesses of his ministry, including the miracles he performed. However, Jesus assured them that they would do even greater works than those that they witnessed of him. See John 14:12. What an incredible thought to the disciples of Jesus. They could not imagine doing anything greater than what he had done in his ministry on earth. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he instructed a crowd of about 500 people at Bethany to return to Jerusalem and await for the promise of the Father. What a day it was when the Holy Ghost came upon the believers assembled in Jerusalem. Peter preached the initial new birth message of the gospel following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now the message of repentance of water of sin and water baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sin and receiving the promise Holy Ghost as initial evidence by speaking with other tongues by the Spirit of given utterance. See Acts 2. That very day, 3,000 more souls embraced the apostolic message and received the Holy Ghost. The gospel soon would be preached across the entire world. The mandate for believers today continues to be the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to make disciples and spread the glorious gospel of Christ to the four corners of the world. Now, let's look at the next commandment. He commanded to be light to the world. Jesus declared, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world," John 9:5. However, Jesus further revealed that all believers would share the responsibility of spreading the light of his gospel. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid," Matthew 5:14. We are to be faithful, shining lights of the gospel, reflecting the light of Christ to a dark and a sinful age. A light that shines only occasionally is not faithful or dependable. One will call an electrician to have the light repaired so that the performance will be reliable and dependable. In a similar fashion, Jesus did not place his power in believers only to shine at a specific time convenient to them. All believers are responsible to be diligent about allowing their light to shine in the dark world. We cannot hide the glorious light of Jesus Christ. It will show in our demeanor, glow on our countenance, and be clearly evident in our lifestyle every day. So let your light shine, shine, shine. Now let's look a little further of serving others. It said, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto you." 2 Timothy 4:9. Now, serving God and serving others is the design of the life of a child of God. It is a joy to be diligent in ministering to the Lord and to the one another. To be a true disciple of Jesus Christ is to be servant as he was. Let us consider some areas where we can serve our Lord. Number one, we can serve in sacrifice. What beautiful instruction regarding service Paul gave to the believer at Rome. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Romans 12:1. The Old Testament records innumerable sacrifices made by people as sinful individuals desire to appease the holy justice of God and enter in his divine presence. In this dispensation of grace today, however, God requires a different kind of sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. And we got to recognize that in the Old Testament, they were constantly bringing a dead sacrifice. And so now that God is calling for a living sacrifice, that is the key for us as children of God. When we present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to renew our mind daily. Now, let's look further. Diligent servants of the Lord are willing to sacrifice whatever is necessary to please the Lord. However, instead of offering a dead sacrifice on the altar of wood or stone, as they did under the law, believers today must mortify the deeds of their lust of their flesh and to present their lives unto God, holy and acceptable unto him. Moreover, this is the measure of reasonable service. God will never ask us to do that which is unreasonable, but he requires us to give our total lives to him. Now, the kingdom of God has been blessed over the centuries by selfless servants who have diligently served both the Lord and his church. For example, numerous individuals served Paul faithfully and assisted in his ministry. In the closing chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul named some of who have blessed his life. He mentioned Luke, he mentioned Mark, he mentioned Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. He went on to acknowledge many more that helped him. People who are diligent in their relationship with God and service to his purpose are a great blessing to the kingdom of God. And so I come to encourage you today is to be faithful where God has placed you and be diligent there, and God will tremendously bless you. And not only that, you will be in a tremendous blessing to others as well. Now, Paul also instructed the believers at Rome that if they rule, they were to be diligent in their responsibility. In ministry, when one is given the responsibility to rule, it must be done with complete diligence. Diligent leadership is vital for the flourishing of the kingdom of God. Now, let's look at the next point, exhortation. Now, Jude wrote, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Jude 3. We should be diligent about keeping purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the present, for it is advancement in this world. Jude emphasized the importance of contending for the faith once delivered to the church. To exhort means to urge strongly, to warn earnestly. If ever there was a time in which the church needs to strongly proclaim the message of salvation, it is today. Jude was concerned that the subversive individual might attempt to creep in unnoticed to negatively influence the believers and their doctrines. In an age of compromise when society blurs the line between sin and righteousness, the church needs clearly declare the truth of the apostolic doctrine. And that is so true. Even on Sunday, God had me to just talk with the church and to really to minister unto the church and give us a greater understanding of God's his standards, and gaining just a greater understanding of that. And for us to adhere to that, because guess what? The Bible said in the last days there will be people that will come in that try to negatively affect the gospel or to come in and bring their own ways or bring their own way of doing things. And we must recognize that God's house is God's house, and we must reverence that and highly esteem it, because God's ways are not our ways and neither our thoughts his thoughts. And so we must adhere to the things of God, even when our own flesh don't want to. And that's where the greatest battle and the struggle, because our flesh don't want to. And sometimes that's where we have to crucify or mortify that deed, because it doesn't want to. And that's where mortification and mortifying the deeds of the flesh come in and say, no, you're going to do it. And talking to yourself, you're going to do right by God. And if this is what God is wanting, I'm going to do what's going to bring glory and honor unto my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And flesh, you're not going to be flaunting yourself before God. Now, let's look a little further. The message of salvation is the same today as it was on the day of Pentecost in the early church. The path of redemption still passes through the necessary elements of repentance, of sin, baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, the receiving of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, Acts 2:38. Many of the early believers suffered great hardship and loss of life in order to proclaim the precious gospel of Jesus Christ and preserve it for our generation. We must continue to guard against those who attempt to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness or to deny the only Lord God. Now, we must be careful, and that's what we must warn against, even the children of God in the house of God. And see, you have to be careful of how you sometimes even allow align your life with other people. If there are people that walk the way and see, you know, it's okay to have a casual relationship with them, but you have to be careful with them even too, so they won't taint your spirit and things to what God is teaching there in the house of God and things. And so it's very vital for us as children of God is to be very careful of those that try to negatively influence the children of God and to lure them away into their own doctrine and onto their own hurt. And many times, sometimes own hurt, sometimes is because of sometimes unwillingness to adhere to leadership. Many times people will say, well, it seems like pastor is always on me. Well, is it pastor or is it God trying to get you into a certain direction, and God's trying to take certain things out of our life? And what the adversary will have us to do is to look, oh, this is the pastor keeps on constantly getting on me or saying things. Well, no, maybe it's God. Is saying, I'm calling you up higher. I want you to come to a higher place. And in order for you to come to a higher place, you got to stop doing that, which is keeping you further away from me and honoring me and the house of God and the things of God, because we're not going to do it your way. We're doing it God's way. And God wants us to do it his way. And so when we begin to recognize that and just obey God and be diligent when God's sharing and showing us, so that we can go to that next plane and be the man and the woman of God that God is calling us out to be. He's calling us higher. He's taking us to another place. He wants us to be in a place where we can be a blessing. He can bless us and we can be a blessing to others. And so sometimes when we're going through trouble and sometimes when we're going through the changes that God is creating and transforming our lives, we must sit still and be diligent and go on through. And things. Many times people get mad and leave the church. And when God is really breaking and molding and reshaping them into the man and woman of God that God is calling them out to be. And so when you find that, be careful when they start complaining. Be careful when they start speaking negatively. These are subtle influences that come to start looking and to taint the child of God, pure spirit. That's why God said for us to give diligently, our hearts diligent. Don't let evilness crap into your heart because someone else been hurt or someone else have left the church. You don't know all the story. All you know is their part. And then you don't know all of the ramifications of what actually happened or what actually transpired or what God was doing. They're just telling a part of the story. So we must be careful, children of God, as never before. Now, we must surrender our hearts. We must respond to the gospel by faith and through faith. We must also surrender our hearts. That is the first step through diligence, by surrendering unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, we must go on further as well. And things, we must be diligent in the conversion, totally committed and surrendered. Then in keeping our hearts, we must keep our hearts, for out of it is the issues of life. Solomon declared to us, he said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, let's use an example of how do we apply that to our lives and contextualize that to our lives now, for the relevancy of today's living. Now, you can be around negative people, and we're talking about negative people and things. But what you can say in your heart, God, I don't receive that in my heart. I keep my heart. I'm not going to let that thought get in my mind. I'm not going to let that get in my heart because I really don't know all the truth of that and things. I'm going to keep my mind. I choose to trust God and choose to be prayerful during this time and during this season and be still because I don't really know the truth of all of the matter. So I choose to keep my heart pure before God and the things of God so that your spirit and your heart will continue to be sensitive to God and the things of God, and your heart will continue to give God the praise, glory, and honor that's due unto him. Now, diligence preserves the calling and make the election sure to guard against failure. So we talked about that it's important to keep our heart clear from any obstacle that will hinder us from surrendering our service unto the Lord. And there will be things that will come and things, but you got to shake those things off and see if it's really true and things, because there will be things that will constantly fight up against you as you even doing your work and your task and assignment for the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue on, daughter. Continue on, son, in the gospel and doing the work in the will of the Lord. Whether anybody notices it, God's noticing it. And he's going to repay you. And see, because he said he promised that he was going to reward those that are diligent. Now, also, as you guarding your heart in things, a Jew said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And that's the state where we want to be as children of God. If people offend you or if you've been offended, forgive them. Let them go and things. Because guess what? You want to be faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy because you didn't hold on to the baggage, you didn't hold on to the hurt or the pain, but you cast your cares upon God. You let it go. You didn't allow it to enter in your heart. But now, as never before, you're giving diligence unto the things of God. Now, also, diligence is the bridge between the call, the promise, and the benefit or the blessing. Now, Paul declared that the promises of God were exceeding great and precious. He also declared that they pertain unto life and godliness. What great hope awaits the child of God is diligent in their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must be diligent. Now, not only that, we must be diligent in our own spiritual growth. We must spend time in prayer. We must spend time in the presence of God. We must spend time in our Bible reading and gaining a greater understanding of God and the things of God. We must be diligent in the things of God and committed unto God as never before. We must be diligent, as I said earlier, in the time of trouble. And yes, there'll be time when trouble will come our way and you may be perplexed even in your heart and mind. We must be diligent in the things of the Lord. Even in hard trials and tribulation, we talked about Paul and everything that he went through. He was diligent unto God and the things of God. We must be diligent in our duty to God and things. You know, many times, sometimes people feel in their heart sometimes, oh, well, I'm the only one and nobody else. You got to watch that thought because the enemy will get you discouraged in that thought. And once you begin to conquer that thought, because the enemy will say, well, look at you. You're the only one that's doing this. Nobody else coming along to help you. Nobody else there for you. And then cast that thought down because it comes to rob you of your reward from God. God honor faithfulness. God honor diligence. And if he see you standing by that and being diligent and being faithful, guess what? God will bless you. And there is a blessing that is on his way. Okay? Diligent is a way of all life. The Lord expects his people to be diligent in maintaining their responsibilities, and he rewards those who are faithful. Even in the parable of the talents, the master declared the man who was faithful in the talents allotted to him, well done, good and faithful servant. The Lord both will require as well as reward diligence. And we must recognize he's going to reward you. He's going to bless you. He's going to open doors for you. He's going to make ways out of no way for you. He's going to overtake you and bless you. The word declares that. And we must take heed to that and look for the blessing to come from the Lord and watch him do it in and through our lives. Now, preaching the gospel, we must be diligent even in that, in sharing our testimony, sharing the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sharing these things. If they're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and then he commanded us to be a light in the world, we must let our light so shine that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So let your light shine. Let the Lord smear your countenance with his glory and the brightness of his glory to be upon your countenance. And just say, God, be upon my countenance, and watch God do it. We must be diligent in serving others, in our sacrifice, giving God that living sacrifice, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, crucifying the things or mortifying the deeds, things that God brings to our remembrance or our mind that is not like him. And so let me share with you, and I hear the Holy Ghost pushing me and prompting me to share with you, is that when you find yourself, child of God, the word coming to you, and you feel like, oh, he's talking directly to me. Ouch, that doesn't feel good. And think, well, guess what? God is saying, I want you to mortify that. I want you to stop doing that in your life. It's not really your pastor getting on you, but it's God saying, I'm bringing this to your attention. You may have done this all your life, but I'm bringing it to your attention that this is something that I don't want in your life, and I want you to stop it. I want you to try to mortify that or be conscious of not doing it. Make the choice of not doing it. Don't feed it. And anything that you want to die, you have to stop feeding it. And if you want to, say, for instance, a habit or something that you know that God is trying to get out of your life and take out of your life, well, we have to make the conscious choice to say, okay, I need to stop doing this. And I have to be aware of myself when I do it, with whom do I do it with, the time that I do it, and become more conscious of that and make a choice, okay? Well, if I do this every time I'm around X, then, well, maybe I need to stop being around X so I get stronger so that I won't do that again and things. Or I need to maybe when I feel that urge, maybe that's the time I need to get my Bible and start reading the Bible and say, God, help me. And things in those areas. Begin to put God in those areas of those weakness and those areas where you feel weak at. Begin to take that as a time where you meet with God, and then God will meet with you, and become that will become a strength as opposed to a weakness, because now you're no more feeding into it, but now you are feeding into your spirit man and building that up. And your relationship with God. So whenever that urge comes, or ever that desire comes, and things, that's the time to replace it with God and the things of God by committing the memory of the scripture to your mind, or saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. When that urge comes, Lord, I bless you now. Instead of giving heed to that thing, I'm going to bless God now. And things, and that's how we replenish it. And things, and that's how we change it, those behaviors, by placing God in those places and having God to come along to enable us and to help us to be victorious over this. He also goes on to say in exhortating, he said, beloved, when I give diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it is needful for me to write unto you, exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once deliverance unto the saints. We must earnestly contend. We must earnestly strive and move towards God and towards the things of God. We must earnestly strive towards that. Now let us look in our closing is there. There must be a renewed call for every child of God to be diligent in their relationship with Jesus Christ, as well as in their service and commitment in the kingdom of God. As we rapidly approach the catching away of the bride of Christ, we must be diligent concerning every aspect of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we are serving, whether we are ruling or exhorting, our hearts must be tender and responsive to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be diligent in our own spiritual growth as well. If we diligently seek the face of God and pursue His will for our life, we will maintain a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to say, even in my closing, that I want you to diligently begin to daily cultivate your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and diligently present yourself unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, God, here I am. I thank you for another day. I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness. And God, I come to you, Father, saying thank you for all that you've done. And Father, today I yield my life unto your will for my life today. And that's how we can start our day. God, your righteousness, your kingdom, I seek your will. Even in my relating with my children, God, your will be done, Lord. Help me to be the example. Help me to be the light, God. Help me to be the one that can lead them back to the place where they need to be in you, God. Help me, oh God, to reach into their lives and be that beacon of hope for them. And as we begin to daily talk to God and daily invite God in and invite His Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, God will begin to do that even in and through our lives. And so it's imperative for us, children of God, as never before, for us to take a look closely into our relationship with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and start building that relationship. Don't you know one of the things that I love is that when I get my Bible, sometimes what I would do, I would just say, God, open up my understanding as I read your word. It's just that simple. All you have to do is say, God, just give me understanding as to what I'm reading. I really want to have a clear understanding. And the more we begin to invite the Lord Jesus Christ in, the more He's going to open up our understanding unto God and unto the things of God as never before. It is key, it's critical, it's important that these things happen in and through our lives as we invite the Lord Jesus Christ in. When we study in the Word, when we're preparing to do ministry, when we are seeking to do the will and the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ, diligently inviting Him. Invite Him in your home. Invite Him in your life. Invite Him to go everywhere you go. As we diligently seek to develop and to cultivate that relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He will cultivate it and bless it. And so now in our closing, as we get ready to close, I pray that this give you a greater understanding about the importance of diligence. You be diligent about the ministry or the task that God has given unto you, and watch God greatly, greatly bless you, overtake you and bless you, open up new doors and avenues unto you, that you would just be overtaken and blessed by God and the things of God. Let us get ready to pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for giving us understanding of our duty of diligence and giving us a greater understanding of the things that we need to mortify or stop doing or to die out to, and that we can be the light and the beacons that you have called us out to be. Help us to be diligent in sharing the message, the gospel message of the death, burial, and the resurrection. Help us to be diligent of being a light in this world. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name. Bless all of my radio listeners on today, God. I ask that you undergird them and fortify them and meet every need, and let not a need Golak and God, we thank you, Father, for this glorious time. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. May God bless you. Bye-bye.